Have you ever felt so much passion about something that there's no possibility in the entire world that you could stay silent about it? That you could weep with an overflowing joy and wish to proclaim to the entire world, "He is alive!" That's the passion that the two women had as they ran back to tell the disciples what they had seen. That Peter had as he ran back to the tomb and wondered where his beloved Jesus had gone. That's the passion that the men going to Emmaus had as they saw Jesus disappear before their very eyes. But before I go any further, I guess I should pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us come here today and worship you. Thank you for letting us, the youth, just have a day where we can show all the teachings that we have glean from everything we have learned here and beyond. And Lord, please help give me the words to say what you want me to say. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to do this. Amen. So it's been 7 days since Easter. 7 days since the actual road to Emmaus account would have taken place, give or take 1,985 years. But what happened in those first 7 days? He appeared outside his tomb to Mary Magdalene and under the guise of a gardener. He appeared twice in a locked room, once when Thomas was there and once when he wasn't. He performed his last recorded miracle, catching an enormous amount of fish. He reinstates Peter soon after that, after his denial of him 3 times. But these are just a few of the things he did that week. But maybe some of us aren't 7 days after the resurrection. Maybe some of us are still stuck on that day 9 days ago, the day he was hung on the cross and breathed his last breath. Maybe, just maybe, some of us are just like Drew and Laura, trying to shove Jesus back up on the cross until the last 5 minutes of service, trying to force him to pay the price of dying on the cross again and again and again, not realizing that he's already done that. He's already paid our way. We just have to accept that gift. Okay, so now I'm going to switch to an entirely different gear that... Just go with me. I'm going to talk about baptism a little bit. More importantly, what baptism represents. It's a public declaration of your faith and a promise to God. But it's also been represented as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The death being the initial plunge, no pun intended, into the water. The total immersion into the water, where our sins are buried forever. And lastly, the coming up out of the water that represents the resurrection that inspires us to declare to the universe that Jesus saves and he is alive within me. Now, try to picture Drew or Laura being baptized in this manner. They would gladly plunge into that death, but then they would become stuck, drowning in their sin, and unable to breathe. But now, let's picture one of the people in the Emmaus skit. They would become immersed in the death. Then they would wash away their sins in the burial, and then burst forth with glorious radiance and declare, "Hallelujah, Jesus is alive within me." Jesus walked the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. He revealed himself to his disciples and prepared them for the journeys he knew they would face, until it was finally time for him to ascend into heaven. In Acts 1:6-11, we read, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their very sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking at the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go." Can't you just picture the dumbfounded looks on their faces as they watch him ascend? They had seen him heal any ailment known to man. They had seen him raise people from the dead. He appeared inside and disappeared outside of sealed rooms. And he even was resurrected from his very own death. But all they could do was just look up into the sky. They apparently stood there so long that an angel had to come down and say, "What are you doing here? You're just looking there, staring up at the sky." He wasn't going to come down just then. And honestly, Jesus didn't know when he was going to come back down. But it was the disciples' job to make sure that the world was ready for him when he did. So the disciples traveled around the entire known world at that time. They spread the word wherever they went. There was this guy named Hippolytus who sort of made some sort of an account of some of the general areas where they went. Peter, he went to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, Italy, Asia. Andrew, he went to the Scythians and Thracians. John, he went to Asia, and it's assumed that he was banished by the Domitian king to Patmos, where he wrote Revelations. James, he preached in Judea. Philip, he preached in Phrygia. Bartholomew went to India, and he gave them the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew, he wrote his gospel in the Hebrew tongue, and he published it in Jerusalem. Thomas, he went to Parthia, Mede, Persia, he went to the Hercians, Patricians, and Margians. And James, he went to preach in Jerusalem. Jude, he went to Edessa and to all of Mesopotamia. Simon, he became a bishop of Jerusalem. And Matthias, he also went to preach in Jerusalem. And Paul, when he entered his discipleship, he began in Jerusalem and went as far as Spain over a total of 35 years. But these 13 great apostles, they were just the beginning of the Great Commission to spread the Gospels throughout the entire world. If they wouldn't have started, we probably wouldn't be here right now. And because Jesus is risen, it's time for us to take our place among those disciples. Now, I'm not telling you to go to the very ends of the earth, to some small village in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. But if you just live your life while reflecting Jesus and his undying, unfailing love, he will take care of the rest. So, I know this is a short sermon, but as we close, I just have one question for you guys. What are you doing here? He's going to come on the clouds with fire. And we still have a ton of work to do.
Let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for giving every single piece of you that we are. Thank you for just being so loving, so caring, that you will come here and you would come to this earth and you would spread a gospel of love and joy. And thank you for all these people here. And thank you for the youth group who have been family to me and to everybody else here. Thank you for just giving us this opportunity to come here and worship you with every particle of our entire being. And it's all because you lived, you died, and saved us all. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.